For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering 2 shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. Lots of great reasons to bet on FanDuel Sportsbook. They have great odds and markets for the MLB, NBA, NHL, PGA Tour, and so much more. They have awesome new and existing user promotions. It's America's number one sportsbook. It's easy to use, it's safe and secure, and you get your winnings fast. It's also fun to combine multiple bets from the same game into a same game parlay and discover the most popular SGPs each day right when you log in. If you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with promo code JANJ, that's J-A-N-D-J, so they know we sent you. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in select states only. Gambling problem, 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342.
Welcome to Jenkins and Jones Are Out of Pocket. It is Friday, June 10th. We just watched the best finals game we've had in a minute, and I mean, maybe the best playoff game so far this year. We've got the entire crew here. We've got Josiah the Legend. We've got Tyler, a.k.a. Dragonfly Jones. We got John, a.k.a. LeJethro Jenkins. And we got Zach, and we got myself, Guardy B, a.k.a. Mike. And guys, what a freaking game. Like, we've had to sit through some garbage this playoffs. And I feel like these are the games that make you feel not, maybe not smart, but not stupid about being a basketball fan.
Yes, it was good as hell. Like, we were talking, like, the last time, like, when the hell are the savvy veterans, you know, when are the Warriors going to win a game with their heads? And we saw that this game, because the fucking Celtics shit it all over themselves that fourth. It was a fucking derp off. We saw why these are the smart, savvy veterans and that they're 6 finals and these are the Young Bucks on their first. It was just put on pure display. The Celtics had a chance to put this fucking series away. You cannot play with the Warriors like that. You cannot have the Warriors still hanging around because now y'all going to get your ass with game 5. Y'all losing by like 15 game 5, bro. We all know that, right?
We do.
In San Francisco. The Warriors were savvy by benching Draymond Green. Let's call it what it is. I mean, he came out, he said, oh, that was one of the worst games I've ever had, and followed it up with something very close to whatever the worst game of his career was. I think he's still helpful defensively, but whew, tough one.
So first and foremost, it's Friday, 6:10, so I just want to wish a happy hood day to everybody who celebrates, everybody who's observing this tremendous holiday. Rest in peace and Nip the Crip. I was over at Gilbert Arena's house. I was getting turned up. I am inebriated right now. I'm not going to lie up front. Was, again, hoping for a Warriors defeat. Celtics had them in their clutches. But we talked about this last show we did, experience. This is where experience comes into play. Had some Warriors fans that were in their feelings a little bit about Legetto, you saying that the Warriors have more experience. One in particular said, oh, they don't have anything else. I mean, we have a small show. We can't talk about all the great things they have. But they do have Wardell, Stephon Curry. And that man is going to take that finals MVP with him wherever he's going. I'm going to offer him some cornbread if the Warriors do win. You know, I just don't think this Celtics squad, this is the game where this is honestly what it looks like it could be the series. And I hate to say that with it being 2-2. But this squad, you know, they're riding that 2-1. They have the chance to go up 3-1 now. It's going to be a wrap in San Francisco if they can get that for game five. Now, Dragonfly, like you said, they're going to get their asses smacked. I feel like we all know that to be true. We'll see if they bounce back to 6 and this goes 7. Then once it's 7, it's a crapshoot. We saw LeBron, Raymond James prove that in 2016. We ascended from the heavens to defeat the greatest team in NBA history and make himself the greatest basketball player of all times. But Draymond, yeah, it's tough to watch. And I was actually with Gil at Gil's crib. Draymond DM'd Gil a couple minutes after the game ended. Gil had some interesting commentary after game 3. Basically said that this series is going to be really banking on Draymond. If Draymond delivers and does what he's supposed to do, the Warriors will win. If not, they won't. But salute to Draymond. He's a real one. He's a legend. I know he's a part of the Volume Sports family and doing everything. And if a man wants to podcast, God damn it, let that man podcast.
I thought this was America, people.
If it takes 40 from Steph for them to win, I don't know if I'd say the series is over.
40, 10, and 4 with 7 made three-pointers, the first time anyone's ever done that, and the third oldest player in NBA history to score 40 points in a finals game after MJ and Bron.
And Wiggins had 17 and 17. Tatum stunk it up. Jaylen Brown was less than good. He wasn't bad, but he wasn't good. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I just think that in the fourth quarter, they just hit no shots. And Tyler, we talked about that. I mean, you said you brought it up, but we had talked about it before. I was like, you know, I brought up the fact that you can't go out not letting Tatum and Jaylen Brown fucking finish games, right? You were saying that, you know, Marcus Smart and Horford were the people that they went to the end. Bro, when Jaylen and Tatum had options, had the opportunities, they blew it. No, the Celtics couldn't hit shit. This is the first fourth quarter they lost, wasn't it? In the series, I think
they were. You know plus, what I mean? They were plus 40 in the fourth quarter in the first three games of the series. But you know, D'Antoni had 7 seconds or less. Phil Jackson, the Tex winner, had the triangle offense, and the Celtics run the fucking brain fart offense. Like it's what they do. They do it every game. There's a stretch every game from the 4:16 mark. Jaylen missed a three. Tatum missed a three. Smart missed a three. Smart missed a three. Horford missed a three. Horford made a three.
What happened to going to the bucket? How did they win last game? How did they win last game? At the bucket, realizing they're bigger and stronger. They did the opposite today when it mattered. Why the fuck would you do that? Try to outshoot Steph Curry? That motherfucker is a devil. We've seen it. You're not going to win that battle. You feel me? It's crazy.
Like we talked about, that's the trap that a lot of Golden State's opponents fall into. Like, Golden State's best attribute on defense is their offense. Because they'll hit three threes, you know, back to back to back. Then the opponent panics. Like, okay, we got to get in a shootout now. And then they're putting up terrible shots. Next thing you know, it's a 16-4 run. That's right? Like, we see that's happened all the time with the Warriors. Their offense is their best attribute for their defense. And we saw that tonight, too.
And when they got close, it was like, we're down three. Let's shoot a three. No, nigga, you can't match the Warriors in three-point shooting. It's not going to happen. Not when Steph is on one. Bro, just run your – oh, there's 5 minutes left. All of a sudden, everybody wants to get it all back at once. And that's what young teams do. But I think we've seen them because they look like the greatest team in the world at times, and then they look like can't do right at times. This is the first time it's happened in the fucking fourth quarter. You know what I mean? And that's why I think this series is going 13.
The unfortunate part about watching this joint now is that there has to be a winner. Somebody's gonna win a championship from these two. Hoping they could both lose. Still hoping we could extend this out somehow. Just 85 overtimes and they just call it a draw and neither team wins. Yeah, but just it's not gonna happen. One of these teams is gonna be victorious. Warriors fans are gonna be talking big shit. A lot of them are only 15 years old and can't fight, so it's not a big deal. But it's nonetheless. Just to hear that annoying, Steph's the GOAT. Nah, nah, nah. It's just like, come on, dog.
He had 2 points like for like the majority of the fourth quarter. And I thought they were going to lose. And it was like back and forth for a second. And then he just went off. And I think he had like 7 or 8 in those last 4 or 5 minutes or whatever. But it would have been hella fun if they were talking about him in the fourth quarter. And then he's going crazy the first three quarters and blows it in the fourth. That's what I was hoping for, just for the fun. But Steph is special, bro. He's special. He has he's had his down moments, but that's just basketball. But when that motherfucker is on one, I don't think there's more fun basketball on the planet that I've ever seen.
I just don't understand how Klay is still getting Jordan Poole's minutes. Because Klay had 18 tonight in 41 minutes. Jordan Poole had 14 in 21 minutes. And I get it. Jordan Poole is a little bit of a liability in some of these games defensively. It kind of looks like he gets bullied. It sort of looks like it's
and Klay had some big moments defensively, too. He had some big steals, you know. So,
but, you know, Klay on this one steal, two blocks.
Klay had to start that 17-3 run. He had a one-man, he was beat to the basket closeout on Tatum that shockingly caused a missed layup. That kind of helped jumpstart that. And I do think it's you. I think you hit it on the head exactly. It's just, you know, Klay will make a three in the fourth when you need him to, but you also know Jordan Poole will do something really stupid defensively and immediately turn the ball over on the other end after doing so.
I think you need the scoring. And like, I think, you know, to John, to your point, like, can Steph give you 40 the rest of the way? Maybe. I mean, is he going to be sore on the foot or whatever after this game? I don't really know. I don't know how serious that injury actually was, but like, someone needs to score a little bit to help Steph out. And I think you're more likely to get a flurry of buckets from Jordan Poole than Klay at this point. And I'm not saying take Klay's minutes, but like, play Klay 35, play Jordan Poole 26, not 21 and 40, you know, and that's my thought.
Steph didn't even get an MRI on that ankle. So, I mean, on that foot. So it's not that big of a deal, but
Steph fans will tell you it was a flu game. You know what I mean?
Of course. But Steph, I mean, Klay strips Tatum going to the bucket in the fourth. He stood up Jaylen Brown at one point. You know, big defensive moments, but like, for the first half, I mean, he was whatever. A lot of minutes. I truly wonder, I'm telling y'all, after next year, like, I truly wonder, how the fuck do you defend keeping Klay? With Wiggins doing what he's doing. He's been having a great series. You know, good. You know what I'm saying? A solid series. 17 rebounds? 17 and 17? In a must-win game? Yo, and also all those damn offensive rebounds and putbacks he had? Those are extremely important. You're going to just get rid of that shit? When he's doing, making winning plays? You know, like, and Klay is like, you know, all right, and you want to pay him 40 mil? I just don't understand how that's going to make sense.
You still got to keep Klay around just for the possibility.
For the vibes?
No, not for the vibe. For the possibility that he's 80% of the player that he was.
We'll find out next year, because we'll have another 4 years. So this is the thing. Wiggins is 26, he just turned 27. Physical prime, you don't have it until like around 27, 29, between 27, 29.
32,
yeah, something like that, you know? I think Klay is 32.
But he's Canadian. He's Canadian.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, okay. I'm just saying,
no disrespect
we'll
to Canada.
We'll take 3 months off because he's from America's hat.
We need the conversion rate.
Canadian dollars. We need the Canadian dollar prime conversion rate.
But Poole is 22. Jordan Poole is 22. So, I mean, we saw Wiggins making those, you know, Jordan Poole being young. He has a huge upside. He looks like he can be that type of player Klay was at one point.
Amnesty, you know, all of them.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft.
I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a six-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last two decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I think the Warriors are I think the Warriors would keep him around for the Mayans, to be honest.
That's what they're going to do, but that's not going to help them win in the future.
Well, look, I mean, I had mixed feelings about this, but like as a Lakers fan, this happened with Kobe, right? Like late in his career, it's like are we mortgaging everything to keep Kobe? And the answer was yes, and there would have been they would never have recovered emotionally had they not done it.
It's
and
I think fucking they feel, Kobe, though.
No, but they feel similarly about Steph and Clay up there.
Yeah.
You know
Clay getting a statue right outside Chase right with Steph,
sure.
Bro.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Yeah. But he ain't no motherfucking Kobe. I appreciate you, Steph.
I agree. I agree with you.
You know what I mean?
I agree with you, but I don't see any world in which Clay is suiting up for.
Do we give Clay any love, though, for being the defensive juggernaut? Obviously, I know he's coming off of two missed seasons and all that, but this was a guy who was tasked in years previous with having to guard the best guard on the other team and still expected to get buckets on the other side. Steph is improved as a defender. Steph tries hard on defense, so I'm not here to knock or criticize Steph. But Steph is also get cooked. You know, he gets cooked often. I know he had the stat the first two games, but I'm just being real.
No, they had the conductor pulling the fucking choo-choo.
No, not the choo-choo. Why ain't they run that no more? They still were switching.
So my question is always, if Clay was allowed to be the defensive liability that Steph is and just focus on offense, would he be at an equivalent rate? I don't know the answer to that question. I'm not trying to start no shit with the internet. Warriors fans, I'm in L.A. If you want to fight me, pull up. It's all good. I'm inebriated. And I have a little bit of that. But
I mean,
but imagine now, Clay, every series.
Oh, I wish I could use a segue right there, but we do have more basketball to talk about.
But do every series, having to guard the best guard, having to be that guy on defense, and then coming in, dropping 60 on 11 dribbles, just shit that's unheard of. And I was with Matt Barnes tonight. I was with Jared Jeffries. I was with Gilbert Arenas. And one of the things they all were talking about, and I asked this question on the internet, everybody thought it was an easy one, but I said, better shooter, Steph or Clay? And we had guys in there saying that Clay is comparable to Steph. Obviously, the numbers may not show it based on what he does, but he has to put that effort and energy on defense as well and then come back on offense to try to keep up. It's something that should be considered. But I listen to guys who are 100 millionaires and have way more money than me over Twitter fodder. So that's just how I get down.
I was going to say, I don't think it's how I take to say Clay's the second best shooter of all time.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I don't think that's how I take it at all. He'd probably get my vote for that. And to your credit, what you're saying confuses me so much because usually when guys are coming back from injuries, the defense is where they take that hit, not the offense. But it's been the inverse with Clay, right? Like, he's still somewhat of a great defender, still a really good defender, but he's not the scorer that he once was, and it's confusing.
He averaged 20 a game this season. So he still was getting buckets, But like, it's not, he doesn't have those same flurries. And your jumper comes from your legs. And when you've been gone for 2 years and your legs are cooked, the jumper goes with it. You feel me?
I think it's fair to give Clay another year to see how cooked or uncooked it is.
For sure. But
he is 32. Those are gnarly surgeries to have. Kevin Durant is a freak for coming back from one of those surgeries. So it's not easy. I've told this story before. When I was at ACU, we played Clay and he was suspended for the first half of the game because he had got caught with weed in his car. And I remember we did all the scouting for Clay Thompson in that game.
It wasn't his.
Tragic.
And I was like, why are we wasting our time scouting Clay? He's only going to play the second half. What's the matter? We're up 14 or 15 at halftime. Clay comes in, drops 29 in the second half. We won by 1 point. And at that moment, I was like, this guy is arguably one of the best players I ever watched in college. And he's been an unbelievable NBA player. And Joe, I think you make a good point. Like, he's probably sacrificed some of the scoring. And I think he should chase the bag. Like, whatever the Warriors, if they lowball you, leave. Like, bro, get all that money.
Come to the Lakers.
I'm not saying I don't like Clay. I love Clay.
No. I'm saying they didn't like it.
You're making a decision for the future. You know, if it's for the buyout, I get it.
You're on your Belichick shit.
But the Warriors are franchise. But the Warriors are franchise that don't get down like that. Warriors, Lakers.
It's a big decision.
Same thing with Kobe getting that $45, $48 million his last 2 years. The Lakers, they know the optics of that, how that'll make them look to free agents down the road, and it'll be a less desirable location. Whether that's actually true or not is neither here nor there, but I can understand their logic in thinking that. Because, LeJethro, I'm in the same boat as you. It's like, look, Clay, like, you know, like, Father Time has essentially told us that we need to rock with these younger dudes. We got Maple Jordan. Yeah. We got Jordan Poole, who's literally come to his own. Like, ultimately, we could deal you and James Wiseman and get somebody else in here who's another fucking, you know, problem. Like, you know, these are things we need to consider, but I just don't think that they will do that. But I've been wrong before.
Now, if it sure goes back to the optics, like in their fucking 60-70 year history, they've only been a coveted free agent destination like the last 5 or 6 years, right? They do not want to fuck that up, you know what I'm saying? And shitting on Clay, and you know, you box the Clay shit up and giving Clay the boot will for sure shit on that to a lot of people.
Well, Bob Myers has always been out front about that. Like, we are aware of how much he sacrifices and what he could be if he wasn't playing with all this other shit. So I don't think that happens. I do want to talk about, though, the more immediate legacy talk with the Warriors is, I mean, they went on that run because they put Draymond on the bench and the Celtics had to guard five guys with five guys instead of four guys with five guys. It's a lot harder for a defense to do when there's five guys that are willing to end a play with a field goal attempt. And Lisa Salters, Zach and I were talking before you guys hopped on. She asked a question of Steph that was like a knife between the ribs. She asked Steph about Draymond getting benched. It was like, were you impressed with his leadership and being willing to get benched for being so
yeah,
shitty?
It was great. It was such a kind way.
Do you think we're going to get something drastic? Like, I mean, I'm sure they're starting, but do you think we're going to see like a major minutes drop? Do you think they're going to actually push their chips in on forcing the Celtics to defend their whole lineup and reduce his minutes for the next game?
What happened to Draymond? Does anybody know? I mean, this is the man who dropped 32 in a game seven, what, like 11 for 16 from the field, six for whatever it was from the three-point line. And it's a dude, when you're watching this game, he deliberately passes up shot attempts now. Like, he goes out of his
KD
way now.
KD happened to Draymond. Happened to Draymond. I think the reason is, I feel like, you remember when we thought that the shot attempts were going to come from Clay? And Clay was like, nah, that ain't affecting me. And he was right. He still got his shot attempts. They didn't need any offense from Draymond. So Draymond focused on the things that Draymond could do for them to win. And it helped them win when they had KD. Now they didn't even beat an old Draymond. That motherfucker ain't shot a jumper in offseason in fucking 4 years. You feel me? That motherfucker, you see that? Bro, you saw when he shot the three? You saw when he shot the three? You saw it?
Yeah.
How long did he think before he let that thing go? Like he forgot how to shoot them things. You feel me? Like, yeah. So, I mean, hey, like Draymond Hall of Famer, great player. I love the podcast, all that shit. Draymond not the same Draymond he was because of those reasons. And they need him to be that person right now. They want him to be that person right now.
Do you think Steve Kerr will run something different out there the way he did in the fourth quarter? Because there's just absolutely no doubt that that's what flipped things in the fourth quarter.
They looked way better when Draymond was on the bench.
We'll see. There was a part of me that legit thought he was not coming in the rest of the game.
Yep, me too.
There was a part of me that thought that. And I was like, I don't know if that's gonna if that's how it's gonna be, because if you bench Draymond with the season on the line, the finals on the line, the championship on the line, you're saying he's done in that town, bro. You know what I mean? You are basically sending the message that you are no longer, you know, an attribute to this team. But did y'all see the tweet from Draymond's mom, who's like, I don't know who this is. This ain't my baby. Well, we got to figure this out. Did y'all see that tweet?
That's so sweet. That's so sweet.
Yeah, Mama Green used to follow me, and then I think she realized I'm a LeBron stan and had to jump ship.
She still follows me. She still follows me. I ain't want to retweet out there because people are fucking dickheads, and I don't want people coming down on somebody's mama. But yeah, I'll show y'all the text in the group chat.
He didn't score, and he hasn't scored much in this series in general. He still had 9 boards, 8 assists, 4 steals. Like, that's not that bad a night. I think the hard thing, we talked about this on the Twitter Spaces at halftime, was like, in those LeBron series for those 4 years that they met head-to-head, or 3 years, whatever it was, there were moments where the ball gets whipped around, ends up in Draymond's hands, and he either hits a 3 or some back-breaking shot, like free throw line extended, and you're like, fuck. Like, and Draymond's, you know, pounding his chest on the way back. And John, to your point, that's probably it. Like, it genuinely is probably it. Like, this guy had a step back in such a way that he hasn't really been asked to do this. He's put all the eggs in, like, I'm going to rebound, I'm going to get steals, I'm going to be a good leader out there, and scoring is kind of falling by the wayside.
Did you see him on defense, though? Did y'all look at him on defense? Did y'all watch him on defense? Yeah. And at times, Jaylen, like a liability.
Yeah, Jaylen's eyes light up whenever he's
you feel what I'm saying? So that's the thing. Like, yeah. Draymond, the quarterback of the defense, and I know being vocal and all that shit and let people know, all that matters, bro. But you also can't – you cannot be the – like a God-tier defender and still be the QB, you can't be fooled on the defensive end when that's how you've, you know, made your name in the league.
I have permission to do some super geeky basketball shit real quick? Because I agree with John. I don't think at all that game 5 is an ass-slapping for the – like, I think what's fun to me about these next 2 or 3 games is – I wouldn't be surprised if we get road win to set up.
Right, right.
Like, it's so razor thin in terms of how they put it together. But let's just look at the box score. I think they're going to need – I don't think they're holding the Celtics to 97 points consistently over the next 3 games. So they're going to need probably at least or more scoring than what they got tonight. You cannot mark down Steph Curry for 43 points. You can't do that for 3 more games.
When is Tatum going to be Tatum? He hasn't been Tatum once this entire series.
I could do it for one of those 3, and that's the one win
you
the Warriors need.
I don't know. For sure.
But if he gets a 2, though.
But look at this. But look at this box score tonight. 2 points from Draymond Green. 2 points from Otto Porter Jr. That's 4 points from 2 of your starters. Okay? You are not going to be able to consistently build a way to beat a Celtics team that can shoot 50% from 3 on any given night. You're not going to do that. So they're going to need either for Draymond to be willing to shoot the ball from 5 feet away from the basket where he was consistently passing the ball today, or they're going to need to do something different with the lineup. Like, I just don't see how what happened tonight happens 2 more times out of 3 games against that Celtics team. I don't see it.
So what you're telling me is they combined for 4 more points than this entire crew did from the comfort of our house.
And by the way, on 9 shots, you know what I mean? Like, not.
Hey, you give us 9 shots, we're going to walk out that bitch with at least 6 points.
Especially the shots he had. He was butt naked. You know what I'm saying? He was butt naked. And bro, did you hear how the ball violated the rim on that 3-point shot? Bro. The brick reverberated through my household. I had to go rock my baby back to sleep.
You thought it was an earthquake?
So it's okay.
You thought it was at least a 4.0.
We felt it on the seismic scale. You feel me?
Oh, no.
I was like, so me, it's okay. You know what I mean?
Okay, game 5 predictions. Do you think the Warriors snatch it? It sounds like at least 2 of you think that the Warriors snatch the series back. Do you think the Warriors win the next game? Do you think they win the series? What does everyone think? Josiah?
Is Scott Foster officiating?
Is he?
I just need to know.
I don't know.
No.
Okay, time to call the big dogs. We need this thing to go at least 6, if not 7. That's why I love the NBA. It's one step ahead of the WWE.
Shout out to Dan Worthington, one of our colleagues that runs our betting stuff with the Juice. He pointed out there was an official tonight that the Celtics were 15-1 in games that he officiated, and they obviously lost tonight. I feel like they're just going to keep trading. We're probably going to get seven out of this. John, to your point, when are we going to get a Tatum game? Like, he had 28 and 26 the last two games.
Look at the shot.
Look how he shot
28 for 82 this whole series.
They felt a lot like Kobe in the finals, where he's getting 28, but they're like, you know, you shot the ball 35 times tonight, you know, like, so, I am curious. I mean, it's not been easy for him. We talked about that too, that they seem to have a really good defensive scheme against him. So we'll see.
I think the ass open is coming. I think we're going to see kind of a rehashing of game two. I do not see them, the Warriors, slumping for three games straight. Like I said, I think the game two Warriors that we saw this series come back in game five and beat the fuck out the Celtics. That's what I see happening.
You said slumping for three games straight. Didn't tell you, what do you mean?
Because we saw the ass kicking Warriors game two.
Yeah, yeah.
Game three, game four, we saw mediocre Warriors. I don't think we're getting mediocre Warriors three straight fucking games these finals.
I don't know who wins, bro. I'm not even gonna try to make something up about who I think gonna win, because I think, you know, if the Celtics just don't turn the ball over and don't forget how to play basketball for five straight minutes, they'll win by 15.
Is it, you know what I'm saying?
If it's going to happen,
it's going to happen. They're dumb as hell. We talked about this the whole postseason.
I know, but they found ways to win, doing the same dumbass shit. You know what I'm saying?
They found ways to lose, too.
Yeah, I mean, the Celtics
play with fire all postseason. Y'all remember that Bucks series? They tricked two of those games off, still ended up winning the series. Yeah. They tricked this game off. Let's be real. They tricked this one off. They had it in their grasp at the crib.
Right, for sure. For sure. That Bucks series, I think the Bucks only truly won one game that they didn't. You know, that the Lakers, that the Celtics didn't basically hand to them. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? So, like, I think that Bucks team was better. You know what I'm saying?
Without
I think
they Middleton.
You feel me? So, like, we'll see. It depends on if they can play four quarters of basketball without those huge blips. Like, they forgot how to play basketball in the fourth quarter for, like, 8 minutes.
It really was, they've done it consistently, but it still shocks the hell out of me every time, because when they're playing well, they look so much smarter than everyone else. And then they just, it shuts down. All right, last topic from Chuck. LeBron James wants to own an NBA basketball team in Las Vegas. Do you think Braun will be a better NBA owner than Michael Jordan?
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bar low as hell for that.
Better gambler.
I would be a better NBA owner than Michael Jordan.
Better basketball player. Better branding ambassador.
It is funny though, because there was a clip from a pod going around where Braun was like, "Yeah, I bought a house in Vegas. It fucking sucks." That was like 6 months ago, and then the NBA is like, "We might put a team there," and LeBron's like, "I would love to own a team in Las Vegas."
Well, I don't know. Does he want to own the team, or does he want does he want a stake in the team? Because he has a stake in the team with the Red Sox and with Liverpool.
Yeah,
Fenway Sports Group.
You know, that's one of those things. It's like, you can be part of a group, and it's not necessarily like a huge. You just go to games whenever you want. You know, like Billie Jean King owns part of the Dodgers, but she's not like firing the manager. You know what I mean? The general manager. You know what I mean? It's just, she just gets to come sit wherever the fuck she wants, whenever she wants. Like, you know,
free nachos.
A big stake in a team. Like an amount.
Yeah, I think
he wants to be the owner.
He wants to be on the owner board.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like the Jay-Z owning the Nets, you know, where it was like Jay-Z owned 0.00001 of the Nets.
It's not a bad stake to have in the Nets, though. You know what I mean?
What would that team be called?
That was a play. Jay-Z sided with the gentrifiers. That was a play for him to get.
LeBron, I think, would have to distance himself from all the clutch stuff, because they made Jay-Z sell his stake in the Nets when he started Roc Nation Sports. Right. So we'll see how that goes.
What would a good name be for a Las Vegas NBA team?
I like buffets, but I don't know if that's a good team.
I like buffets.
I still think it's wild they named their hockey team the Golden Knights. Like, that's not some fucking...
That's the worst shit.
It's pretty weird.
Like, the Aces, the Las Vegas Aces is a great team name. Like, the
Aces is great.
Aces is fucking baller.
Well, Josiah's shouting out L.A. Hood, so maybe I'll keep it Long Beach and suggest that they go with the craps table and call themselves the Rollers. How about that? That'd be
cool. Oh, that's fire.
Yeah. The Rollers, the Vegas Rollers.
Sheesh.
I'd like to fuck around and be a fan of the Vegas Rollers.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
Let it ride.
All right, y'all. That's all the time we have. Thank you so much to everyone, including especially Are Jenkins and Jones fan.
Some beef is eternal, ladies and gentlemen. Some beef is eternal. And I feel it.
I have those same situations I deal with. You finally got me.
We all have those situations. Absolutely. We'll be back. Well, I don't know when everyone's going to be back, but the Buckets got the Wave guys are doing their thing. Jenkins and Jones will have another show next week for sure. And we'll catch you all later. Bye.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering 2 shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.